In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Corazonul Taibin, we are getting closer and closer to the end of Lent and the Great Holy Week. Today, the Church shares with us a very, very important gospel, and it's kind of a sad gospel, to be honest with you. It's one of my favorite gospel readings for so many reasons. There are so many lessons to be learned from it. Taban, you know, the theme of Lent is repentance, it's Toba, and of course that message is in this gospel of well. But there's so many other powerful messages and powerful lessons to be learned. One of the key verses in this gospel, it says here, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." The background of the story, in case you're not aware, the pool in this area had something miraculous. Every so often, an angel would come down, stir the water, and the first person to come into the water after the stirring, if they had an infirmity or a sickness or something, they would be healed or cured from that if they were the first one. And this went on for a long time, and this man obviously had something wrong with him, and he sat by the pool for 38 years. And the two important things, the two important verses here from this passage that I just read, do you want to be made well? That's a very interesting question. It's obvious that everybody there is sick. Yani, our Lord was not blind to the fact that everybody there is sick, and he was aware that this pool had miraculous properties, that when the water was stirred, the first person to go in would be healed. So it's a very odd question for our Lord to ask the person, do you want to be made well? And I think if we look at it a little bit deeper in the question to this particular individual, it's almost as if our Lord is saying him, do you really want to be made well? Yani, it's clear that you want to be made well because you're here. But are you sure that you personally want to be made well? Or have you gotten used to this new life for 30 years? 30 years is a very, very long time. It's a lifetime. As I mentioned to some of the college youth a few days ago, when you graduate from college, you're in your 20s, 23, maybe you do some graduate school or something, let's say 25 or something. And most people retire 62, 65, 40 years, an entire career. He was sitting by this pool. And our Lord said to him, Yani, are you serious? Do you really want to be made well? Wala khalas, you've gotten used to this new life. Because sometimes that happens for us. Sometimes we fall into a level of despair. We give up. Khalas, nothing's going to change. The same thing day in and day out. The same sin. The same problem. The same difficulties. The same challenges. The same tribulations. I've stopped fighting. Because there's no hope. It becomes a new normal for us. And our Lord is hitting this point very clearly for this individual. Are you sure? Do you really want to be made well? Mishbesa, do you want to be made well? Of course he wants to be made well. That's why he's there. But he's hitting a very sensitive spot for this person. For 38 years, have you gotten used to their new life? Or have you stopped praying about healing? Do you really want to be made well? And the man answered the question. And here is the key to the whole story. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. I have no man." His dependence is on man. His dependence is on other people. It's yes, of course, sometimes somebody who's sick, somebody has to help them. But his dependence, God is not in this picture at all. He's not mentioned. I have no man. He's given up on God. He's given up on the glory of God. He's given up on the miraculous healing power of God. I have no man. So if nobody can help me, then there's no chance. God is not in the picture anymore. And we fall into this all the time. Our dependence on God starts when something happens, but after a while, when it carries on for a long time, خلاص ربنا نسيني. God forgot about me. God, I'm not on his radar anymore. He's got bigger things to worry about. So I'm going to have to solve the problem myself. And I depend on this, and I depend on this, and not on God. So this lesson, this gospel is a very, very powerful gospel for many reasons, especially that when we are faced with difficulties, when we are faced especially with a sin that is part of our life for a long time, and we've tried and tried, and we keep falling into it, We don't see a solution. We become used to it, and we become accustomed to living in that state. So much so that we don't even feel it anymore. We don't smell it, we don't hear it, we don't notice it. Nothing about that sin is ever clear to us anymore. Also, it's a problem with our human nature that we want to have control. Our level of trust in God only goes this far. We don't want to relinquish control. It's very hard for humans to relinquish control because we have logic, we have experience. We've seen that when we do things with our hands and with our minds, we can solve problems. And if I'm asking somebody to trust that God, who I can't see, is going to solve my problem, it's really hard. We have a control issue. It reminds me, actually, when I'm driving and my wife is sitting next to me, if she feels that we're getting too close to the car in front of us, she'll hit the imaginary brakes on the ground on her side, and she'll hold the steering wheel that's not really there. Yani, she's behaving as if she's the driver. I said, Habibti, I'm the one driver. I have the brakes and I have the steering wheel. But that sense of wanting to have control is a reflex. And as humans, we have that need to have control. It's hard for us to relinquish that. And that goes back to a very important point. And I think all of us, I think every human being, fails to fully understand the character of God. I think that is the crux of the problem. We don't fully understand the character of God. I assume that logically, if I do A and I do B, then C will happen. But if it doesn't happen, then God doesn't understand my problem. God can't fix my problem. It's very easy. If you just do this, God, the problem will go away. If you just do this, I won't be sick anymore. If you just do this, my financial situation will be okay. If you just do this, I will have a good job. It's simple in our understanding. But in God's perspective, it's different. We don't fully understand the character of God, nor can we understand the character of God. We just have to have faith. And there are so many verses in the Bible that remind us of this. And I think the most powerful one is the verse in Psalm 46, I think it is. Be still and know that I am God. Stop fighting. Stop forcing your will. Stop forcing your solutions. I have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of experience, infinite amount of experience, with infinite number of people. I can fix your problem at the right time, in the right place, in the right circumstance. Stop trying to fix the problem yourself, because you're going to weaken your faith, you're going to lose hope, and ultimately fall into despair, which is what Satan wants. Satan wants us to say, Khalas, there's no hope. There's no hope. I give up. I've tried and tried and tried, and 38 years, nothing has changed. I'm not going to change today. I'm this way. Khalas. Rabbina khalatni kida. I'm not going to change. That's my personality. I've always been like this. If I should have been born something different. And this is what Satan hopes for, to try and chip away and chip away and chip away so we lose hope. So I hope that in this gospel, and I hope that throughout the course of the coming days that are left in Lent, we can take this lesson from this gospel and understand that it is not by our power that we do anything. It is by God. God sometimes gives us the tools, and sometimes he uses us as the tool, but ultimately it comes from him. And if we relinquish the control to him, and if we put our trust in him and stop moving and say, be still and know that I am God, we will have peace and we will have a greater understanding of his character, and we will grow closer to him, not just through the remaining weeks of this Lent, but in the rest of our lives. And glory be to God forever. Amen.